Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 97, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck Coke Industries and fuck Fox News. It's Friday, August 30th, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Oh, yes, Jack O'Brien, Mr. Hostman. Wait, podcast Hostman. That's it. That's all I got.
Okay.
That is courtesy of Christy Yamaguchi, Maine, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Is it trash food? Let me smell it. Put my bomb down, pack it, and clear it. Is your permission for flat yet? Is your permission for flat yet? Though, if you got a big bug, let me search you and find out if you're true Tuscan.
Okay, I don't know what the last part was. You just shoehorned in Tuscany. If you got a big butt, it wasn't big butt.
A big butt.
But if you do have a big butt, let me search it.
I mean, maybe the butt over there is peppery. Like the,
like the arugula. I mean, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. Definitely not here. That AKA comes to us from Nicholas Spear at Dead Neb.
Dead Neb.
Oh, and then next week, let's do Red Hot Chili Peppers inspired AKAs.
No.
Please.
I want Red Hot Chili Pepper AKAs.
Everybody,
too.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Jack and I, it's going to be RHCP week. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're going to ning, nang, nong, nong, ning, nang, nong, nong, ning, nong.
Go, Glendale.
Well, that's Jay Daly, but yeah. Shit, Moses, look at John Daly to cover.
Seriously. Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, Mr. Dave Ross.
What's up?
Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to see you guys.
You're finally with us with the whole crew, because last time I think it was Iffy, right?
Yeah, it was you and Iffy.
Yep.
We've never met Jack.
Yeah.
How are you?
Great, man. It's great to meet you.
Yeah.
I've missed you my whole life. What's that song lyric?
Where have you been?
Yeah.
What song lyric? Wait, what?
The Call Me Maybe, where it's like,
I just met you and this is crazy. Here's my number.
And then there's something about before I met you, I didn't realize how much I missed you or some shit like that.
Oh,
anyways,
great.
That's how I feel about Dave. we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we are going to tell our listeners
what we're talking about on this season finale. We're going to talk about Matthew McConaughey, as we always do, but he's in the news, so we have an excuse. We're going to talk about what rich people are doing with their money, whether they're just out there spending or not. We're going to talk about the Democratic field winnowing. We're going to talk about President Trump and Fox and their rocky relationship, suddenly rocky. We're going to talk all sorts of shit about Disney Plus, the IP bubble, space crime.
Space crime.
You heard me. Space crime.
Fucking, what? It's happened.
It's happening.
Cross the Rubicon into space crime.
Well, yeah. At least we have that Space Force going.
Exactly.
I knew that was for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
But first, Dave, we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Oh, man, literally the most recent thing I searched, I just looked it up, is it's the phrase radioactivity shirt. And it's literally because there's a band called Radioactivity that I like a lot.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I mean, I like a lot of, you know, semi-obscure punk music,
sure.
You know, and other stuff too. But yeah, those bands tend to not have merch that you can buy on the internet.
Right,
and, like,
right.
Every now and then I'll have a like spark in my brain and be like, maybe they have one now. And I look.
No.
But you search for a Radioactivity shirt, and it's generally just like a Biohazard logo,
yeah.
Or just like
right.
Screenshots from Chernobyl or whatever.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
On a t-shirt.
Which could be a shirt. Yeah, yeah. Just like a melted face.
Right. It's like, that guy looked directly into the core. Shouldn't have done it.
That's what happened to my brain, is I pictured the part where they like put all of the firefighters' clothes in the basement of the hospital in Chernobyl, and then they're like, and it's still there to this day.
Yeah, that's what's that's
just a picture of that on a shirt.
Oh, yeah, that was in the last episode, right? Where
yeah.
they actually showed the abandoned hospital, like, this shit's still there,
man,
and still radioactive.
Yeah, I would recommend the band t-shirt over wearing one of
a radioactive t-shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, liking music rather than being at Chernobyl.
Yeah,
that's a good move.
What's their vibe of like? It's a punk band.
Yeah, they're a punk band. I would say just sort of like straightforward punk. They're from Denton, and if you know like bands that came out of Denton in the '90s share a similar sound. It's like rock and roll, half just straight out rock and roll, and half punk rock.
All right.
Not whiny.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
But not like in your face, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not like I'm tougher
threading
than
that
you.
Needle. Yeah,
totally.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'm sure, look, if there's listeners out here, if you're making bootleg Radioactivity merch.
Oh, man, send me some, dude.
Yeah.
So there was a...
I also love Chernobyl.
Denton, Texas?
Yeah. Chernobyl shirts would also be good.
Yeah?
Yeah, Denton, very Texas.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay. They had a whole punk scene.
Like them and Riverboat Gamblers and, well, that's it.
Dude, RBG. Hell yeah.
RBG, the most famous RBG.
Yeah, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, absolutely.
What is something you think is overrated?
Oh, man, I'm so happy to be able to say this. Twitter. I'm over Twitter, man. And I'm like preaching this to everyone, everywhere.
Constantly, huh?
Truly. Well, yeah, I mean, you just don't have to be on Twitter. We live in this world where, especially creatives... think they have to be on Twitter. You got to have a Twitter account to make it. You got to do all the social media. You got to You got to do stand up. You got to have a podcast. You got to be an actor. You got to do push ups. You got to rob banks. It's just like,
got to eat vegetables.
Yeah. You got to do all of it. And it's driving us crazy. And like, I'll never be someone that says, like, if you like Twitter, if it brings you happiness or community or anything positive, do it, please.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
but I know a lot of people that do it because they feel like they have to, and they talk about how depressed it makes them and how much, they toil.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you as someone who's been on either side of it, it doesn't matter. If it makes you feel bad, it's not going to help your career. So stop doing it.
Yeah,
pay attention to your mental health. Be good to yourself. Fuck Twitter.
Yeah, at the end of the day, like if you yourself are not doing well, you're not going to be creating your best work either.
Yes.
And I think it's funny that you say that because this has been like a creeping trend with a lot of our guests. Like,
oh, really?
A lot of people have been like, dude, fuck Twitter.
Yeah, good.
And I think we always sort of knew that because if you don't know how to distance yourself properly from social media, like it will fuck
you up. It'll consume you.
Yeah. And there was a study that came out recently that was saying like social media is one of the few things that cause a user anxiety and like fulfillment simultaneously.
Whoa.
So the thing that is fucking you up is also the thing you go back to try and feel better.
Wow.
And it's a very unique relationship that's very specific to social media. So I can totally see how a lot of the time, especially for comedians, it's like, yeah, you're not on fucking Twitter.
What's wrong with you?
Where the fuck are you? You're like, I don't know. I'm out here doing shows.
Yeah, totally. It's funny. You know, that new season of Black Mirror that came out wasn't their best by any sort of shot. It just almost, it was basically not good. But one of the episodes, the one with Topher Grace was, did I ever see it?
No. I didn't see that one.
It was about like this guy takes a guy hostage and is trying to get a hold of the CEO of basically Twitter. And when he gets him on the phone, he tells him, and this is a spoiler, sorry.
Spoiler alert for this old Black Mirror episode that came out 2 months ago. Right. If you're that fucking
Topher heads out there.
Skip ahead 1 minute.
He gets the guy on the phone and he's like, you know, I was driving late at night and my wife was in the car and I was bored and tired. So I pulled my phone out and I used your app. And I wasn't looking at the road and I crashed my car and it killed my wife. And I don't blame you for that. That's my fault. But I also read that these apps are designed and researched how to make us more and more addicted to them.
Right, right, right.
And, you know, there's whatever with the episode, but that moment I was like, oh, yeah, we don't. We're not reminded of that very often.
Right, right.
These are billionaires. They have so much money, and they are constantly researching how to keep us in these apps.
Yeah.
And when I realized that, I was like, oh, fuck this.
Right, right, right. Sure, sure.
I'm being manipulated.
Right.
I just
you
am.
Take your power back. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. It's funny, though, because I, for whatever reason, Instagram, like, doesn't make me sad, and I just like it.
Right.
So I just keep doing it.
So Instagram is specifically designed by people who took a class in at Stanford that was all about like human behavioral manipulation. Twitter, I think, actually started as an application for people to keep in touch at South By.
And oh, then really?
People, yeah, and then people found it useful during Michael Jackson's death, and that's like how it kind of had its big blow up. But that doesn't really matter because it's, you know, it just, it filled a hole in the human brain, and that hole is addictive. You know?
Well, right. And then you also look at sort of like trends with like dating and younger people, like more and more people just prefer to do everything through a phone now than like in real life socializing where you might meet somebody too.
What is something you think is underrated?
Oh, man. I'm also excited about this. Steph Tolev. Everyone needs to be a fan of Steph Tolev. She's a good friend of mine. She's also she's my favorite comedian in LA. And I was just talking to her yesterday. Like, she's doing, you know, fine in the sense of the LA comedy scene, but she's been at it for so long and she is so good that she needs to be famous.
Okay.
Go follow Steph Tolev. She's a fucking incredible comic.
Nice.
Yeah.
Follow we'll have to have her where? Around in person?
Or? Follow her around. She likes that. She likes to be terrified and have her, you know, boundaries infiltrated. No, follow her on Twitter and Instagram. And she has a monthly show called Hags that I just did. That's it's like a monthly on a Tuesday. I think September, I think it's 25th is the next one. It's at the Virgil, but she posts about it if you follow her.
Nice.
And she also tours and she has an album she just put out called I'm Not Well that's really, really, really good. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Step toilet. Yeah. Is what her.
Yeah, she's a big idiot.
And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
You know what? I don't remember what it was at all, but I would love to do pineapple on pizza.
Great.
Because I hate. Yeah.
Okay, so what's the myth?
That pineapple tastes good on pizza.
Oh, wow.
It just does not. It's bad. And if you like it, you're wrong.
Unequivocal.
Miles, we've talked about my old sketch group, and when we would shoot, it was funny. Every time we would shoot sketches, we would get pizza, and the other three guys in the group would always want pineapple, and I would be like, no. And I always wanted jalapenos, and they always hated. Dude,
they didn't want.
They don't want jalapenos. Jalapenos are the best pizza topping, in my opinion.
They are good.
I will put my hands on them next time I see them.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they
women
were comedy. Anti.
Not, I don't. I mean, women in comedy. The group was called Women.
We were called Women.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, we've had a few of them. We haven't had Alan on, but we've had Jake on and Brett.
Brett. Oh,
wait,
who
what's
is
name?
Brett?
No, who's Ingebretson? What's his name?
Matt Ingebretson.
Matt Ingebretson.
Oh, but he wasn't in the group.
Oh, he was doing the other show with him.
But he's in corporate.
Who's the super tall dude?
That's Matt Ingebretson, and he's not in the group.
Who was the guy who held the broomstick in the boom sketch?
That was me.
Oh, that was you? Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, the group was Jake Weissman, myself, Alan Strickland-Williams, and Pat Bishop,
who also
created Corporate with them and is the director of Corporate.
Got it. Yeah, you know, Pineapple, it's funny. Like, the first time I had it, I was like, oh, this is interesting, but I do not like sweet and savory mixed together.
Me neither.
It's a weird thing. I've only recently been able to navigate with certain dishes, but, like, typically, I just do not, the pineapple is too sweet and threw everything off. Jalapenos over pineapple every day. Come into my mentions. I will fight you. But yeah, that's just how it is.
It's also like, man, you know what, where it really gets me is pineapple mixed with dairy, man. I've like pineapple and cheese in my mouth at the same time. I don't want that to ever happen to me again.
Right. I mean, maybe like a froyo or something sweet context. But yeah,
I shouldn't have said dairy.
Dole whip. Isn't that a thing?
Dole whip, I think, is vegan.
Is it?
Technically.
Okay. I've never even heard of Dole whip.
Yeah, you get that at I love pineapple. Disneyland.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I like them both.
Everybody likes it.
Just come out with it, Jack. You're a pineapple guy, huh?
I'm fine with pineapple.
One
of my favorite savory snacks is chips and pineapple salsa from Paul Newman. Have you ever had that?
No, but it sounds awesome.
Trader Joe's has a pineapple mango salsa that's super good.
But we're talking about pizza. It's specifically for me, the
cheese.
Oh, for me, it's the marinara.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I can do that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So you would eat a cheeseless pizza with pineapple on it?
I don't know if I'd eat, like, pineapple-flavored marinara. I don't know.
That's a little odd.
I think all of it doesn't need
the pineapple.
I think
it's the oregano interacting with pineapple is when I get thrown off.
Oh, okay.
You know? Yeah. But look, to each their own.
All right.
Cheese and fruit, just...
Right.
You don't like cheese and fruit?
Maybe I do, actually. Apple, like on a plate.
I don't think it's... I think what we're learning is that it's not, like, you can't expand it out to, like, broader rules. It's just, like, this specific thing sucks for me.
Totally. Well, yeah, that is the big thing for me.
Yeah.
I'm clearly the only one. It's like Miles and me and four other people, and then everyone else loves it for some god-awful reason.
I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Look, and you know, like I said, to each their own. But don't be offended if I'm at your pizza party and I'm like, this you only have...
Yeah, and I give you the middle finger, and then I piss on the floor.
Anybody who makes it one of... Like, let's say you have three pizzas at your pizza party.
Right.
Now, and one of them costs this... No, I'm just joking. It's not a math problem.
Oh, wow. I was, like, writing it down.
No,
I'm like,
if you have three pizzas, and you go one of them Hawaiian pizza, that's even if you love Hawaiian pizza, that's too much. Like, that's
wow,
yeah, that because that's such a specific thing.
So, what percentage of pizza?
I think maybe a sixth is okay. So, if you did half of it as a Hawaiian pizza,
so if one out of six pizzas is pineapple,
you know, it'd be a good split up would be half Hawaiian, half jalapeno.
No,
I think I totally understand. Yeah, because if you're only getting three, right, one of them has to be a plain cheese
plain
just because.
Right.
And then you need something for vegetarians and hopefully vegans.
Right.
And then something with meat on it.
Yeah.
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 And then you can't just do ham and pineapple for your meat.
Yeah, totally. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's okay. Mean. So we've solved it.
We have.
Our next issue.
I like
global
to be
warming.
Right. Yeah.
What global warming percentage go? Of global warming?
Wow. Talk
pineapple.
About a myth. Let's do this.
Well,
I love your Exxon hat you're wearing.
Yeah, man. My dad's name is Halliburton.
Oh, cool.
Hal I Burton. Well, fortunately, we have one of humanity's finest minds joining the world of academia. Mm-hmm. So I think we will have global warming solved pretty soon.
Yes. Great.
Matthew McConaughey is finally getting the respect he deserves and will be a professor at UT. University of Texas.
Hook 'em horns, man.
Thank God. That's what I'm saying, man.
He is...
Finally, I'll go back to school.
He's been a visiting instructor since 2015, apparently. I didn't know that. But now he is... the Moody College of Communications has now appointed him as a professor of practice to the Department of Radio, Television, Film faculty starting this fall. I don't know what the fuck that means.
So will he teach acting?
Well, so what he's teaching is... He's doing a co-teaching class called Script to Screen, and it's going to be with a director and faculty member, Scott Rice, and it's basically sort of going like every stage of a film's production.
Right, which I'm sure he's been heavily involved with.
In many things, yeah.
Totally.
That's kind of tight.
I mean, he's great. is the thing.
All right.
Right.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah, here he is right now.
Yeah, okay. Wow, here he is. Matthew McConaughey. Okay. Wow.
Somebody say pineapple. It just seems like he's gone from someone who I thought was a joke.
Totally.
And he kind of is, and he's sort of a meme in his own way, but he has a lot of knowledge, too, that I would love to hear.
It's funny because, yes, man, yes. When we first started talking about this, my first thought was, what an asshole. He's a cartoon of an actor. He goes out there and he's like, have you ever had sex or whatever he fucking says.
A Lincoln?
And then, yeah. And then as I started talking, I was like, nope, I love him. I love True Detective.
True Detective was
good. What
else?
Mud.
Yeah.
Mud,
Dallas Buyers Club.
Awesome.
He
got great.
Dallas Buyers Club. He was incredible. Yeah, man.
I'm curious. Has he directed anything?
I mean, Failure to Launch.
Failure to Launch. What's Failure to Launch? Classic.
I lived at home, and he was like his parents were like, please find. Wasn't Terry Bradshaw his dad in that movie?
Oh, yes. My God. I hope so.
I got to see his movie.
I've never seen it.
Failure to Launch. I fully expected Terry Bradshaw to have a huge movie career after that film, and nothing.
God, that would be
just
cool.
Still halftime shows on Fox.
Do you remember the one Howie Long starring action film that came out? Firestorm.
Yes. Is it in the commercial? Isn't he throwing a fucking axe or something like through a flame? Like I don't even know what that meant.
Oh man! Speaking
also
of which,
in Broken Arrow.
He's in Broken Arrow. Yep. Oh, that's right. There was a period of time where he was like the third dude in the SEAL team or the group of generals or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So like, they gave him his own. Yeah. Speaking of that axe thing, one of my favorite
body sprays.
Uh-huh. Man, I'm so happy that you said that. One of my favorite body sprays is Axe.
Right.
Perfect. It really helps me have a lot of sex with women.
My secret on these online dates, Axe.
No, there's that. Are you familiar with the Matthew McConaughey movie? It's Rain of Fire.
R-E-I-G-N? Oh, the dragon movie.
Yeah, the dragon movie.
Yeah, that was like a huge, they spent like
massive flop.
Over.
Dude. Right. And he's like steampunk dragon rider.
Right.
But here's the thing about that movie, and I'm going, do you mind if I spoil some shit about this dragon movie?
So.
About Rain of Fire?
Rain of Fire.
Well, allow us to warn our listeners.
Right.
Spoiler alert for Rain of Fire.
I'm here to spoil things that came out a long time ago that no one wants to see. Now, in the trailer for that movie, all the buildup in the trailer is about how they're fighting this dragon, and Matthew McConaughey is there. It's set in the UK, a post-apocalyptic England. Christian Bale is trying to save his little town, and then Matthew McConaughey is an American general or whatever who shows up with a bunch of Americans and tanks and guns and stuff, and he's like, "We're gonna take down this dragon." And in the trailer ends with Matthew McConaughey diving off a cliff with axe in hand at the dragon about to axe him in the head.
Yeah.
And then the trailer ends. And I was watching that being like, oh, dude, I'm going to see this movie.
Axe this fucking dragon.
And then in the movie, he jumps off the cliff at the dragon and the dragon eats him. It's so awesome. Yeah.
Also, interesting factoid, the name of his character, Denton.
Really?
Yeah, coming back to Denton again.
Radioactivity, everybody.
Also,
listen to that.
Oh, that's not what you're saying because of teeth, like teeth.
No. Also, a film that we failed to talk about, Tiptoes, that never saw the light of fucking day.
Right. What's Tiptoes?
Gary Oldman plays like a little person.
What?
Yo, just search Tiptoes. It's a film that was never released, but it's about him and his brother, who's Gary Oldman, who's a little person, and like his whole family, I think. It's a very bizarre film that with Kate Beckinsale, Peter Dinklage, it has a very big cast of people who you're like, they did this?
Right. The script must have like come with cocaine or something because the script.
You saw it? Did you see
it? No, it's like a viral thing that the trailer exists and you can see that on YouTube, but I'm sure the film's out there somewhere, but I've not seen it. But this is what the synopsis is on IMDb, and if the language is problematic, you'll have to excuse me, because it was written by Earl Baker, so holler at him. It says, two brothers, a dwarf, and one of typical size. That's just it. Then it's a period. Okay. And then it goes, a dwarf and one of typical size, period.
You have to read it in the voice of the trailer, movie trailer.
When Steve's girlfriend, Carol, becomes pregnant, the pair are fearful that the baby will inherit the dwarfism gene. Matters are complicated still further when she finds herself falling in love with Rolf, the dwarf.
Wow. And their love is not of typical size.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of that.
Typical size is such an odd.
I know.
This is what happens in 2002.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Man, there is a, I don't think this ever came out, but I saw some episodes of a show where, and it's a real show that was shot an entire season, and I saw it because I knew the editor, and I think they maybe released it briefly somewhere once, but the show is the exact same as The Real World, except everyone who lives in the house has Down syndrome.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh yeah, what was that called?
And here's the thing, is it like, I think it didn't air for, because conceptually it seems like the people on the show are being taken advantage of. The people have Down syndrome, they're showing people with Down syndrome for viewers or clicks or whatever. Right. But then you watch the show and you're like, this is wonderful.
Right, yeah. There was
Born
a reality show.
This Way is what it's called?
It was on A&E.
Oh,
yeah.
It was?
And it won a bunch of awards, actually, for being wonderful. Anyways, Matthew McConaughey, I wouldn't be surprised if he like is really smart about film, like the way that like Robert Redford and Clint Eastwood and Ben Affleck ended up being like good directors, because it's like you have to know how to make yourself look cool in movies.
Early Clint Eastwood.
Early Clint Eastwood, yeah.
No, later. Later.
Empty Chair Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
That was sort of when he crossed the
Rubicon. What else did he do?
I love that movie where he brought the chair out and talked to it. Yeah. The RNC.
Honestly. The RNC is my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great actor, so he's already, unless his process is so organic where he's like, I don't know, man.
I just live, and then all of a sudden it's a movie.
Yeah, and then like, dude, this Professor McConaughey, this doesn't help me.
Right.
It turns out every movie he's ever been in is a documentary.
Right.
First.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in-line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from the Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow the Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
This is Amy Brown from Four Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
And we're back. And rich people, they know what to do with their money, right? We can trust them.
You mean steal it and then hoard it?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
It seems to be.
Rich people. I like them.
Yeah.
I like them. We all want to be rich.
Yeah. So, I mean, people pay attention. Like Warren Buffett, people pay attention to whatever he's doing with his money because he seems to be the guy who, like, always consistently outsmarts the market. So I think people are, like, looking to what people like him are doing with their money because of the, you know, warnings of possible recession times. But fortunately, Warren Buffett's out here just being like, spend, 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 right?
He's sitting on $122 billion of, like, this the Berkshire Hathaway portfolio. And that's more than half of the value of the entire portfolio. And the only time that percentage was higher was the years leading up to the 2008 financial crisis. So like that's one thing. The other thing a lot of people point at that, like, Buffett is a huge fan of this thing called the market capitalization to GDP ratio, which essentially says,
I mean, it's not like he's the only one who's a fan of that. I'm obviously fan of that.
But
too.
They look at him, like, look about how he always looks at that and sort of treats that as a barometer.
Right.
And that's basically says just how much, you know, like what percentage of the GDP is like the value of the stock market, essentially.
Okay.
And it's been, you know, again, there's a lot of people talk about the yield inversion curve and all these other things pointing to, like, well, the last time that happened was before this recession. So it shot up to 146% at the peak of the dot-com bubble in 2000. And it was 137% just before the financial crisis in 2008. It's now it was in 2017, it was 154%. Whoa. And it's probably going to be even higher than that since that was from 2017. So these are all things that if you look at how Warren Buffett gambles, it sounds like he's sort of waiting to see.
See, this is why we have to build the wall.
Right. That's right.
Because Warren Buffett knows
to keep
so much.
The money in.
Yeah, right. No, seriously.
Jesus,
and,
man.
You know, the other thing, too, they point out is just like the spending habits of not just like Warren Buffett, like just, I mean, he's not really a, you know, lavish spender.
He's buying fewer Egg McMuffins every morning.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Shout out to him. I love that about him. He knows a good breakfast.
Yeah.
But just in general, like, rich people spending is down, like, across the board, except for in fashion. But,
wow.
Like, luxury real estate having its worst year since the financial crisis. Like, retailers who, like, you know, appeal to the 1%, like Barney's filing for bankruptcy, Nordstrom posting 3 consecutive quarterly declines. And then, but also now you're seeing Walmart and Target, like, really taking over. So a lot of the more value stores, discount places are doing really well while those bigger retailers are shrinking. Mm. And then there's another thing they said. There's like Pebble Beach car auctions typically have.
Oh, I love the PBC.
Oh, wow. You love it, huh?
Huge fan.
So when they, like, typically they're always just breaking records for what people are bidding on. And the most expensive cars just did not do well at all. It said less than half of the cars offered for $1 million or more were able to sell. But cars priced at under $75,000 sold quickly and for, like, far more than, like, they were even estimating at these car auctions. And also for the first half of 2018, art auction sales were down for the first time in years.
How are we going to manage?
Sotheby's dropped 10%. But I mean, again,
the
when you look at
Santa
it,
Santa Fe weeps.
The top 10% of earners account for half of all consumer outlays.
Huh.
So that's going to stall growth, I guess, in that sense. But a lot of people are saying, like, there's a reason to look at rich people because they typically own the companies that do a lot of international business. And they're moving more money around. So that's one indicator that at least they're getting a little bit worried. It's not necessarily saying because of this is going to happen,
But right. people aren't hitting the gas on this.
Is the implication that there's something conspiratorial about it? You know, like the rich people are talking?
Well, it could be that, or they're just saying, like, if it's going like this and there is a recession, then we need to be very careful with our money because we don't want to just overinvest in something yeah. and then have the economy tank and then we've lost all this money. So it's a lot of people just biding their time to just see, like, what's...
Wow.
What could happen? Like, is the stock market going to change? Is this trade war that fucking Trump's got going with China? Like, how much is that going to affect things?
Right.
And when he's out here saying things, like, pretending to have calls with China about the trade war, and China's like, we never had, what call are you talking about? Right. Like, later his aides were like, yeah, he was just sort of saying that to help the markets out.
That's...
Whoa.
So...
And the markets, like, it worked, right? The markets was like, yeah, baby, we're back.
And then they're like, nah-uh.
Damn,
Jesus that's Christ. Not it.
What a man. Yeah, I mean, the big thing that's changed, like a lot of the positive economic indicators that people have been pointing to for the past decade, really, like all of the recovery has been, you know, basically moving wealth into the top 1% of the country. So if those people are spooked, like I feel like a lot of that's probably not a good sign, right?
You know, whatever. Either way, we're bowing down to our corporate overlords.
Yeah.
The end of the day.
I just wonder by what. I just don't operate at that level. Like, of course I don't financially. Sure. Like, not even fucking close.
Yeah.
But I'm
we're so out here
curious
talking about
what
splitting a Disney Plus fucking subscription.
Yeah. Can you believe $3 a month? Let's do
Get
it.
Get in now.
Yeah, but I'm so curious what those indicators could be, especially since so many rich people are spending less. I mean, they're just like looking at the market itself because they're interacting with
yeah, and,
the financial market
and just
so much.
For them, their outlook is not optimistic. They're right. being very cautious because I think, again, you had these tax cuts that did nothing except just concentrate more wealth at the top.
Right.
You have these terrible economic policies that are hurting all kinds of industries.
Right.
Do we know anything about Matthew McConaughey's spending habits lately?
He just bought a new buckskin coat.
Oh, wow. Did he?
So I think
we're going to be fine.
Yeah, we're good.
With at the same time
with a great fringe on it with turquoise beading.
Of course.
So.
Oh, that's does he own anything else besides
no.
a buckskin
More like
coat?
Jacket buyers club. Right. You know? Come on, guys.
Come on in. Get in,
laugh, laugh.
Get in or get out, man.
Like me.
You're supposed to laugh.
Please clap.
Yeah, I mean, he did just get a new job, though, so he can afford it.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah. I feel like Matthew McConaughey doesn't buy new clothes.
Right.
Like, I don't think he'd even buy like vintage underwear.
Well, does he wear shirts when the camera isn't rolling? When was the last time that guy put on a shirt?
I don't know. I feel like the paparazzi pics always just used to be him like with like Sony Sports headphones in running on a beach and then hitting a bong in the parking lot.
Right. Yeah. Barney's going out of business probably only seems like big news to me because I lived in New York like when Barney's was blowing up
that's big,
right?
Yeah, that's a very I would have said they would always be fine,
right?
Yeah,
you think so because there's always dumb rich people, right?
Yeah,
are they just handbags, Barney's New York?
Everything
they're just expensive, everything.
Yeah. Anything that you can't that you're like, man, I've never seen clothes like that. It's like,
right,
Barney's probably
totally.
But it is a weird idea to open a like super, super high end avant garde like fashion brand named Barney's. Barney is like the
Truly.
Most like it. I think Barney's Beanery is a better fit for
yes.
that name than Barney's, the high fashion, high end fashion line. But
no, but they're just a, yeah, well, you know, they're just a retailer though. They don't make this shit.
Right. I mean, it has barn.
It's also kind of how rich people operate.
Right.
Like, there's a level of high-end type of restaurant that it looks very expensive inside and is definitely too expensive for me, and there's a lot of that in L.A.
Right.
But then you go out to Malibu, and the restaurants there that are like, you know, like one half a meal costs $150
right.
if you're lucky.
Right.
It's just like a field with a burnt wagon in it.
Right.
And the
it's
server
so whimsical.
Comes right. out and he's like, would you like your burger encased in gold? And you're like, of course I do.
Yeah.
I would like 7.
Okay, great. Do you have a black card? No. Okay, then we'll need a blood oath from you.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
We don't have forks. We throw the food at you. That'll be
$5,000. I love it.
Let's talk about the Democratic field for the 2020 election. Kirsten Gillibrand has dropped out and was greeted immediately by a tweet from the president saying, "Oh, I'm glad the Democrats never figured out she was the only one that I was afraid of."
Oh, my God.
Did you see that?
Oh, well, cool. And, of course, he's afraid of, like, all women who have an opinion.
Yeah.
He's afraid of everyone and everything.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I don't think there's a person
who's the weakest man alive.
Yeah.
Do
God,
like
it
me?
Sucks.
Yeah.
Do you guys like me? Did you like that joke? Please clap.
And Tulsi Gabbard did not qualify for the next debate.
Yep.
So that's... Mm.
And she did the real cool thing of then going on Tucker Carlson to complain about it.
Right. She's like, this is my future.
Yeah, right? Seriously. So now, rather than having like 20 people, we finally have 10 people on one fucking stage.
Yeah, that's nice.
So it'll be Biden, Bernie, Warren, Kamala, Buttigieg, Yang Gang, Booker, Beto, Julian Castro, and Amy Klobuchar.
Mm.
So, Beto, it's not too late, bro.
Are you a big Beto guy?
No, to go to run for Senate, I'm saying.
Oh, I see. I think that about a lot of the people in the field.
Pick up a Senate seat, bro.
I'm really hoping that the way that this goes down is that they've all talked, and at some point, 9 of them step back, and they're like, them.
Right. Yeah.
How cool would that be?
Yeah. But that would require like thinking and coordination on behalf of the Democrats. And...
If they hadn't worked for decades to be exactly like this.
And especially too, like now, like the denial that the progressives like groundswell isn't a real thing. Like every day they're like, oh, fuck. Huh.
Yeah.
Totally. They're still there, huh?
Yeah, it's been going on for a minute.
It's going to be hard to force Biden down their throats.
Right.
But we'll see. I mean, but that's what's great. You'll finally see Elizabeth Warren and Biden on the same stage.
Yes.
And we'll see what cooks up there. But it's funny, like Biden and Bernie, or I'm saying Elizabeth Warren and Bernie have sort of been like, don't expect us to start fucking coming at each other.
Right.
Because we're kind of on the same wavelength. But yeah, there are like a lot of people like, is this going to be the time? Like, no, it ain't going to be it.
That's funny.
Man, I hope that's true.
All the right-wing Democrats, I guess, are saying that like Andrew Yang is getting shut out of media coverage. And I saw an article that was like, is Andrew Yang the next Bernie Sanders? And it's like, no, Bernie Sanders is the next Bernie Sanders.
That's so funny.
Like, he's still being like left out when people are like, Warren is surging. And it's like, so is Bernie Sanders. But people just are like, yeah, but he's not going to win. So.
Well, because that's the whole thing. Like, these are the two people who are like, hi, we want to upset traditional American capitalism.
Exactly.
And when you have the media is entrenched in that and like the way the government's structured now, of course they're going to act like, oh, I don't know, dude. Maybe that dude's not been in the gym doing pushups.
Right. But anyways.
You do pushups in a gym, right?
Yeah.
That's what you go to.
That's all you do.
It's the only reason I have a gym membership.
Yeah. In the locker room. Right next to old men.
I get nude and
quads.
I do push-ups.
In the shower.
Yeah.
Naked shower push-ups. It's actually the name of my gym.
Anyway, stop the Andrew Yang media blackout. That was trending.
Well, I mean, I guess in the sense that he's really like looking at problems and has like very aggressive solutions or ideas to how to solve them, I guess puts him in that kind of category of outside thinker. But look, dude, I know the gamers want their $1,000 a month.
Yeah, I guess he's not right wing. That's probably not fair. But
well, it's just because he has this weird base behind him. That's like some people from like 4chan and like other corners of the internet that are like more who are just more like, I like the $1,000 a month thing.
What is this? I actually
just universal basic income of like guaranteeing everyone gets $1,000 a month.
I want my $1,000.
Yeah, and they're like, well, shit, dude. Pays for games, pays for electricity, pays for a sick ass Vizio.
Does it?
I mean, if you get it at Walmart.
Yeah.
And don't eat. You can't eat.
And you live in someone else's house.
Right.
Yep.
Let's talk about the on again, off again relationship between President Trump and Fox, which. Mm-hmm. They'd been pretty hot and heavy there for a couple years, but it seems like things are a little, I don't know, getting a little messy.
I don't know. It's like, we go in and out because right now he's mad. Later on, he's going to love him.
Right.
And they're going to do some just absurd shit to try and like, you know, confuse people about what he's actually saying or doing.
Right.
And then they'll be back in bed together. But, you know, it's funny because he always has an excuse or someone to blame for all of his failings. So if it's the economy, it's the Fed and it's Powell.
Right.
And it's the fake news media that are trying to tell you there's going to be a recession. And if it's farm country dying out, it's China. That's why I'm trying to fight them. Okay. Right. And if it's bad polls, I guess now he's like, it's Fox News, because this was sort of like on the backs of all these polls coming out about being like, he loses to everybody potentially right. in hypothetical matchups or whatever by 9%. Huh. And now he was getting upset because he saw people like Donna Brazile and stuff on the channel, and like Juan Williams and Shepard Smith, who are the few people who like aren't just fully in like GOP racist, xenophobic, like conspiracy yeah. town. And he said, this is the thing he tweeted earlier this week. Just watch Fox News heavily promoting the Democrats through their DNC communications director, spewing out whatever she wanted with zero pushback by anchor Sandra Smith. Terrible, considering that Fox couldn't even land a debate. The Dems give them nothing.
The Dems give them okay. nothing wow. is such a like jealous boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Thing to say.
And then
yeah. what does he do for you that I can't?
Bro, right.
I swear to God, he has borderline personality disorder.
Oh, oh my God.
He really, everything's he a team to him.
Yeah.
He just literally, he doesn't think. That he doesn't get that we're operating in the real world. He doesn't understand that there are lives on the line, that these things affect people. All he sees right. are if you're on his team or not. He doesn't even care. He doesn't even care what his own opinion is. And you can tell. He just cares that he said a thing, and then if you disagree with that thing, you are now not on his team, and right. fuck you.
And you're disloyal.
Yeah.
Disloyal about loyalty.
He doesn't even care what he's saying at all.
No. And I think that's what shows you, too, like, again, with a lot of these very wealthy people, when you operate in a world where, like, you've never needed anything or wanted anything and had everything.
Right.
You've never, you have, like, your concept of, like, you know, being poor or, like, needing assistance is so foreign that, yeah, you can just go full steam, like, look, there's people who are balling, and then the rest of them.
Right.
I don't
right.
care. And so he goes on. He called the Fox like programmers hopeless and clueless for hiring Donna Brazile. And then he said, they should go all the way left, and I will still find a way to win. That's what I do. Win. Too bad. I don't want to win for myself. I only want to win for the people. The new Fox News is letting millions of great people down. We have to start looking for a new news outlet. Fox isn't working for us anymore.
Huh.
Hmm. A new huh. outlet. I think that's kind of, again, that's what everyone suspected he was doing when he was running for president, was just getting his stock up so then he could like start his own like MAGA news network.
Right.
And that would have been his little cash.
That's
pick.
What he wanted, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And then now he's sort of in this.
Damn, he, dude. Is it going to be president. InfoWars? Is it going to be? Because what's more right wing than Fox? Right. InfoWars.
It's going to yeah, be InfoWars and Trump TV. What
yeah,
if just he
NRA
ever
TV.
Office?
Yeah, right.
NRA TV. Oh my God. Yeah. NRA TV.
And did there'll they, be documentaries about how mushroom shaped penises are actually the best for intercourse. Fucking 3 week mini doc series.
Oh man. Yeah. Tonight on Tiny White Hands.
Yeah. I think I read that it went off the air or something.
What NRA TV.
NRA TV.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, it's folding.
Jeez.
Because oh, no. there's a lot of nonsense happening. But yeah, I mean. Again, it's just this is all part and parcel of the flailing we've been seeing the last few weeks, where it's like, what? You're lying, then you're telling people you're not. There's like one of his spokespeople was on like Chris Cuomo's show and got completely just like, like once she said like the president has never lied, he said something about that or like tried to like suggest that the president's never lied. He's like, okay, this interview's over, get the fuck out of here.
Right.
Wow.
Huh.
So you know, but hey, find that new new outlet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's see what that is.
Just the president and his press office.
Yeah. And it's been, what, 171 days, 172 days since the last daily presidential briefing?
Is that right?
Yep.
Whoa. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Damn. Because the thing he's replaced it with is just yelling at the media as he boards a helicopter.
Yep.
Because then it's on his terms and he can pretend like he doesn't hear them.
Again, the most masterful thing when they were talking about like some of the anti-Semitic shit he was saying, it's like, isn't that anti-Semitic? And he's like, it's only anti-Semitic in your head.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
I mean, he is.
That's just, you know, but that's why he likes it, because it's so quick. It's hard to have follow-ups. It's just so scattered. And then he can just pivot. Someone asked him about right. the global warming. He pivoted to some other thing.
He's got to be like the only person who is, or the only entity that's more easy to manipulate than Trump is the mainstream media, I feel like, because he's so needy. Like you can easily just neg him into an opinion.
Right.
But then the media, he, you know, whatever he does, they take it seriously.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with The 7 every weekday. So follow The 7 right now.
This is Amy Brown from 4 Things with Amy Brown. Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways that healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And Disney Plus, it's coming, guys.
It's coming November.
November. It is a surprisingly good deal, I would say.
It depends.
I don't know. Depends on what you want.
Because what, Netflix is like 10 bucks or some shit right now?
Yeah, 11, I thought.
Or yeah, and then if you want even more, if you want like
Ultra
HD.
More than one screen, it's...
Yeah. Well, so I think like everybody when Disney was like, and Disney's going to have a streaming platform, we're all like, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck? But now as they roll out more and more of what that content is... And for me, seeing the Mandalorian trailer,
I
was like, okay, I'm in. What the fuck are we doing?
The Mandalorian, I'm getting it.
Yeah. And then like the Obi-Wan series that's coming out with Ewan McGregor. There's going to be a She-Hulk series. There's like a lot of things. I'm like, fuck, that's right. You get Star Wars and Marvel.
Yeah. Okay. Not to mention everything that's already been made in those studios.
All that IP, as it were. Yes. But they are really, they're like going all in now because they're offering people basically saying like, hey, if you buy 3 years up front, we'll give it to you for $3.92 a month. So essentially, if you get it regularly, it's $7 a month. But with this deal, you pay $140 or like a little over $140 and you get 3 years of it up front.
Wow.
So
yeah,
it's like the reverse layaway.
I think I'll probably
thing.
Just do it.
Yeah. Or, you know, like to go in with a group of people. You know what I mean? $140.
Wait share a that login. Second here, Miles.
Yep, that's right. I'm a fucking striminal, as the industry calls me.
Striminal.
But yeah, there's the whole thing. Oh, right. So if you want to do it, right, originally this deal was only available to like the D23, like gold members, like the hardcore, yardcore Disney fans.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's available for everyone for free, but you have to just like sign up on their website to become like a D23 like basic.
So
member.
Not for free.
D23.
No, you don't pay anything.
Yeah, but it's but not, yeah, you yeah, give up. You're your, selling yourself.
But also, if you have like a, if you've ever signed into like ESPN or something, you have an ESPN account, it's the same thing as Disney.
Oh, okay.
So you can just they're sort of linked already. Because look, Disney fucking owns everything, y'all.
Mm. Is there a possibility of these streaming services starting to get packaged at some point? I mean, at some point, this is just going to become like cable again, right? Where you'll pay
inevitably
one service that is an umbrella where you get Netflix and Disney and HBO Now or whatever.
Well, but then it's hard because, right, a lot of these were born out of them not wanting to be packaged together.
Right, but we are now reaching the point where we are now at critical mass where I can no longer afford all of them. I can't.
Yeah, we're back to like, well, yeah, if I want everything, then I'm already spending $100 a month. Yeah, or something, if you exactly really want it at all. Especially for sports. Fuck.
Yeah, there's just, there's already too much on just like one streaming platform. Like yeah, Netflix, there's too much to keep up with, I feel like. At
totally.
When the originals come out way too fast now,
right,
and I'm like so behind. And then that thing happens where I'm like you just give up in the middle of a race because everyone's so far ahead of you. And you're
yeah,
like, dude, actually, fuck it, man. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, is Wormwood, is that good? Fucking whatever.
Oh, Wormwood's great, man.
That's
isn't
it really?
You gotta listen.
I don't know. But that's what you hear all the time. Like, what, you haven't seen? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You ever heard Goblin's Neck? I'm like, I don't know. What the fuck is that?
It's true, too. I have like anything will get me out of a show. Because I'm looking for it. I'm looking for like Mindhunter. I just actually finished Mindhunter, but I didn't watch it for a long time because in the pilot, there's a conversation between the male lead and the female lead that's sort of boring. And I was like, nope, fuck this. And I
yeah, no time. Yeah. Gotta go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it turned out I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Just gotta be patient.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, look, you know, I'm got my eye on Disney Plus though.
I know. The thing is like The Mandalorian. Also, what's that actor's name? He's so good.
Carl Weathers?
Yeah, Carl Weathers? He's good, but is he
Werner Herzog?
Those are the two faces.
Those are the two faces you see.
Pedro Pascal.
Pedro Pascal. Yeah. He's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that fucking whole just cast, it's like, okay. Fucking Giancarlo Esposito's even in it.
Who's that?
Dude.
Is that
Gus Frings from Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah.
And then Netflix had, did you see that trailer? There's like a fucking Jesse Pinkman movie coming out.
1 month. They dropped the trailer on us a month out.
It's aggressive. Like, I used to be able to prepare myself, but now it's just coming in thick and fast, y'all.
How incredible is it that
Walter White joint?
No, it's about Jesse Pinkman. Like,
just straight up Pinkman?
The trailer's just this guy, like, in an interrogation. He's like, I don't know, man. He's like, they put him in a box. And he's like, and if you want me to rat out Jesse Pinkman so you can put him in a box, I won't do it. And then it's like a card where it's like, oh.
Seems like Jesse and Walter and Saul might all not be in it. You never know.
It's
a movie about that story. They somehow shot it and kept it completely secret without anyone knowing, and now it's out in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, man.
Good on. And that either means it's going to be good or not.
Yeah. Right.
Also, Ludwig Göransson is scoring the fucking Mandalorian.
Wow.
The dude who did Black Panther and is like fucking works with Childish Gambino. Like, what the fuck, bro? It's going to be, it's too much.
I can't wait,
dude. Mandalorian is not about a Transformer that turns from man into a DeLorean, correct?
No.
It is now. It should be. What's right there?
Hey, who are you? Bumblebee. And you? Optimus Prime. What about you? Mandalorian. Sick, bro. I think I already get what you do.
Truck guy.
Yeah.
Truck robot guy.
Truck daddy.
Dude, Mandalorian.
Fantastic.
All right. So 2019, you might have noticed there were a couple of sequels that came out.
Sequels, prequels, refuels, reeples, feeples, weeples. Uh-huh.
All the quills. NyQuil.
Seroquil.
DayQuil.
There were a couple NyQuils that came out.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But people are speculating that this might be the beginning of the end for Hollywood.
Right.
Basically. Mm.
The IP bubble.
The
as
IP
they call it.
Bubble. The Hollywood as we know it.
Right.
So far, 19 movies have made $100 million at the U.S. box office, and two of them were not based on previous IP.
Yeah. That was Us and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
No. Right.
That used like director cred basically to get there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And if you look for the uninitiated, if you're out not in Hollywood, man, IP, intellectual property, man, it's all about, you know, existing ideas that are out there that they reformat and reshape to make these new things. Call it IP.
Right.
And yeah, there it's constant. Like everything you see, because Hollywood has this terrible habit of being like, great, we do the fucking huge tentpole movie. It's going to make a ton of money. But they have been doing this so much that we're starting to see that like these follow-ups are like losing a lot of fucking steam.
A lot of steam in what way? Like being
some
good?
Some of them are.
So for example, I mean, yeah, they're obviously the huge ones that are doing well. But like let's talk Lego Movie 2 did uh-huh. $105 million domestically. But in the 2014 like original one did $257. So right. That's, you know, less than half. Also, Pets 2, they did what? $875 million worldwide in the first one. This Pets 2 just barely got over $400 million. So like you're seeing things where like, oh shit, okay, that makes sense. But it's still a ton of money, but you're seeing it starting to become diminished now. It's not the same. They're not like improving on it. And I think that's a lot of why everyone's pointing. It's like, well, what are you going to do? And when you look at 2020, like you got fucking Disney's putting out like Mulan and the Jungle Cruise. I don't know how big.
Are they doing Mulan, a live-action Mulan?
Yeah.
Ugh.
That is completely different than like the animated version. It's like more of an action flick.
Okay.
But just using that story. But like Jungle Cruise, I don't know. Who the fuck?
What's Jungle Cruise?
It's based on the fucking ride.
Oh, man, I'm going to throw up.
Yeah. You pulled an amazing
I'm
face
throw
right
up
now.
Right now. No. Oh, no. Dude. No, truly, it hurts me as someone who wants to make stuff. I'm like, fuck, dude.
So the main problem with Jurassic Park, right, is the dinosaurs. Like, uh-huh. Get these dinosaurs out of here and uh-huh. just make it about a ride that breaks
yeah,
down.
Chris Pratt Park.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. Then
so you're saying
got
Jungle
me.
Cruise.
Is just
take it down to
just
having
a
bus through the jungle.
Right.
Yeah.
Whoops.
No, you're right.
Yeah.
I can't wait for the 2023 release of Disney Parking Lot.
Right.
It's
oh
going to be
God.
Fucking sick. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know what you mean. Like for it, when you aspire to make these original things and the industry is so focused on, because again, once the creatives got out of the development roles at these studios, yeah. like in the 80s, and the fucking accounting people and the marketing people started taking those jobs at studios, the focus completely shifted to how the fuck are we going to just get asses in the seats and blow yeah. these box offices out versus like, you know, it's obviously there are smaller studios who are still making the good shit. But in terms of like the money,
right?
It's all this fucking it's this huge, huge IP tentpole shit, and also fucking Sonic the Hedgehog. You think people are gonna go out for that shit?
Is that actually happening? I mean, I saw those photos, obviously, but
yeah, it's coming out in 2020. They had to push it back because everyone was so freaked out by the eyes,
yeah,
and the hands, right?
Yeah. But the eyes,
was
especially,
it the eyes?
People were like,
okay,
it's that they're two separate eyes, right?
Yeah,
and people want one big goggle eye,
one big eye,
right? Like,
is that what it was?
Yeah. It's like snowboarder goggle eyes is what Sonic had in the game, and they wanted it to be that in reality.
I see, like, that's what his eyes sort of looked like.
Oh, that's right. That's sort right. Like, okay.
Yeah.
And then they were just like beady human eyes.
But then they gave yeah. him two circles. How dare they?
Right. Also, just in general, he had small features. They gave him like a tiny mouth.
Right.
Yeah.
Very, yeah, creepy. Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know how, like, on the one hand, yes, we want more original work done. On the other, Toy Story 4 was really fucking good.
It was good.
That's fine. There are certain things I think that obviously can deliver.
Right.
But there are yeah. some things that are such transparently like greedy cash grabs that they just falter in that sense too.
How good that one was bummed me out because
yeah, why?
It was a movie that I was like, we don't need this.
Yes.
Toy Story 3 was like a great ending to the whole thing. Like, and what, just like focus your Pixar resources on the next like
Toy
franchise,
Story.
Create a new thing. Like WALL-E is like such a great film. Like figure out what the next WALL-E was. And then Toy Story 4 was like my favorite movie.
It is great.
I fucking loved
it. Well,
it
turns out
so
that
if you're
going to make a sequel, you just have to put, you have no choice. You have to put Key and Peele in it.
Right.
Yep.
And yeah. then it will be good.
Boom.
Right.
Man. Yeah. But didn't Pixar say that they're not doing any more sequels after the next Cars sequel, which is... They have that coming up, but then other than that, it's
yeah,
like all
I think
originals.
They were basically saying that they're going to focus on originals. I think after
that's great.
Toy Story 4.
After Toy Story
yeah,
4.
That was
oh,
their
okay.
like, okay, y'all, let's get focused.
Great.
Because it's true. I mean, you don't have to innovate as much when you're already just sort of expanding on an existing thing.
Right.
Like, but again, there are certain things that can, they do have the longevity that you can keep iterating on it. But I think also at the same time, you have so many fucking people out here with amazing ideas, too.
Right, yeah.
They're like, just fucking yes.
I do think we're going to start seeing, like, yeah, hopefully what happens is that it creating absolutely original IP, that will happen, and that will be what starts driving Hollywood. That would be great. But I'll bet you that another thing that's going to start happening is, like, the Smash Brothersing of Hollywood in general. I think we're going to start seeing movies where, like, Mario fights Trump or something. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just, right. Yeah. Like,
it's the T-Rex from Jurassic Park versus Spider-Man.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Everything will be Alien versus Predator.
Yeah. Yeah, eventually. Right. Oh, God.
Literally every movie will be a Doritos Locos Taco is my point.
Right. Well, yeah. But there you're talking about a work of genius again. So I'm saying. I don't know what to do about that.
you're like, wait, that Doritos would be a good
Locos
movie.
Doritos Locos Taco.
Doritos Locos Tacos.
I mean,
versus Predator.
We are.
Versus Predator.
Okay. All right.
All right. I like where you're going.
The Pillsbury Doughboy versus a Doritos Locos Taco.
When is Taco Bell KFC going to be a movie?
We already reviewed Flamin' Hot Cheetos as a movie idea and basically greenlit it on a show earlier this week.
But that's a backstory.
It's a backstory of how that was invented, but it's still a food movie.
But you know, it's funny, the Fiery Doritos Locos Tacos being discontinued. So Taco Bell there's nine things going bye-bye.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right, and finally, let's check in with outer space detectives.
Detectives.
We might have seen our first space crime. Committed in space.
Yeah.
By a private person.
An astronaut on the space station, Anne McLean, she logged into her estranged wife's bank account from the fucking space station.
Right.
And because, you know, what happened was, like, her estranged wife is an ex, is a former Air Force intelligence officer.
Right.
So not somebody
that's who you want to hack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone who's been like, oh, yeah, I don't check anything. That has to do with a computer. And
well,
then
first
called,
of all, how about this couple?
I know. Seriously. Yeah. What a couple badasses. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they show up at a party and like, oh, here they are. Fucking idiot.
Right.
Hey, how was fucking space, Anne? apparently when the ex thought something was up, contacted the bank, and then they were like, one of the accounts or one of the computers that accessed your account is from NASA.
Right.
And like, okay, I see what the fuck is going on.
Dude.
And so, you know, the whole thing is that, like, they were saying that she was saying her defense was that, like, well, even though we're estranged, our finances are still intertwined, and that's why I was in there. And they're like, no, you shouldn't have been in there. Anyway, NASA is going to investigate.
Mm.
But if this actually was a crime, this could be the first space crime. And now that brings in this whole discussion now of, like, what exactly is space law?
Yeah. Is that international waters?
Well, right. They have no, but
that's what they're using as precedent. Basically.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're like,
wow.
Yeah,
it's like, so you know that Simpsons episode about how they're able to break laws.
Well, they say that aboard the International Space Station, there is a treaty that essentially says that the astronauts' country the country that the astronauts from, they will be governed by those laws.
Right
in the space station.
So this story, written by our writer J.M. McNabb, has this paragraph buried in it because he's talking about the fact that you might actually need laws in space. And he says, in the 90s, a Russian experiment merely simulating what it would be like to spend 110 days aboard the Mir space station led to battery, sexual assault, and attempted murder. What?
Wait.
Whoa.
One astronaut, quote, had to hide the knives in the station's kitchen because he was worried two of his colleagues would murder each other. Like, okay, we've heard about a couple that Hollywood needs to make a movie about, and we've heard about an experiment that Hollywood needs to make a movie about immediately. Fuck the next Fast and the Furious Presents movie.
Oof. Well, this is the thing.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was not fair.
Wait, you love Fast and Furious.
I do.
Yeah.
Yo, take that
fuck
back.
Fuck the next...
Toy Story?
Oh.
I mean, it seems like...
Did it replace Jaws 3 as your favorite movie?
No, Jaws 4.
Jaws 4. So it didn't upend that.
No.
Sounds like you love sequels, man.
I know. Rocky 4 was the first movie I saw in theaters, and it formed what I think of as movies.
So. You're going to see the new Rambo?
I was just thinking.
Oh, hell yeah, man.
Dude, of course.
Yeah.
I also like that they're calling it Last Blood. I like the finality of it. Yeah. Say it's the last sequel. Yeah. God, I hope so.
Can you imagine?
Ugh.
And it's the next one's like the for real Last Blood.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Isn't he trying to make another Rocky movie?
Hey, yeah. You know, we already talked about that.
Yeah. Man. Fuck it.
Yeah, what about Copland too? You know what I mean? Remember Copland.
The fucking concept was like a immigrant kid who was going down to Mexico or something to fight, like an angry kid. Anyway, look, shout out to Sly.
As your prop.
The thing, though, that's funny about this, all this space stuff is they don't have an actual like agreement or treaty in place if a crime involves astronauts from two different countries.
Okay.
That's where they would have to, like, the country would have to get together to figure out, like, okay, whose laws apply in this instance?
I think it's trial by combat, isn't it? At that point?
No, they haven't spelled it out fight to the death yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, what do you do? There's no, how do you, like, if there was a crime, a real crime between astronauts on the space station.
What crime, what's an example of a crime that the U.S. laws are different than Russia's, for example? Like, what could happen?
Probably something to do with battery.
Right. Yeah.
Really, though?
Hate
I mean, is
crimes,
it,
like,
hate
against,
crime, probably.
You know.
I don't know.
But
I mean,
battery assault isn't. It is illegal everywhere, I would imagine, right? Sure. It's not legal somewhere.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I mean, I think, look, any legal experts in international law.
Yeah.
What are the loopholes we can exploit when we go to space? Okay.
Oh, right. Man. I'm trying to oversimplify it for sure.
A murder, like, that's a great, because, like, if someone commits murder, they, like, it's witnessed, like, they have it on camera because it's done in the space station, and then they have to, like, get away, like, they have to find out where they want to, like, come back into the planet, like, that would be fucking so tight.
And I guess, yeah, you would...
Like the fugitive, but like,
I guess it's like, yeah, re-entry. Norway, no matter what you do in Norway, the maximum sentence you can get is 25 years in prison, maybe even 20, I get. I know that because Burzum, the dude who burned a bunch of churches and killed the guy from the band Mayhem, just got out of prison in Norway.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, shit.
And we have the death penalty. Wow, sure.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I think, you know, at the very least, the one thing that they are saying is like, it would be tough because there's no way to like, isolate someone on a spacecraft. Like if someone did pull some shit and they're like, okay, that's it. Space law evoked. You were going.
They didn't build a jail into the International Space Station.
Exactly. So unless they build space cutters. For all my Aqua Teen Hunger Force fans out there.
The Fugitive meets the Martian. I'm just saying.
Whoa.
Okay.
Oh, and that scene where he jumps out of the drain pipe is him jumping out of the space station.
That's right.
Whoa.
This absolutely needs to be a movie. Yes.
That would be really good.
Yeah, like the weird space law loopholes.
Because like Splashdown is always really interesting because like they don't necessarily know where you're gonna like land.
So it's Tommy Lee Jones' character from Space Cowboys and Han Solo.
Mm-hmm. Oh man.
Who was Tommy Lee Jones is the one chasing Harrison Ford, right? In The Fugitive? Right.
Yeah.
Who was the one armed man?
Just a guy.
I forget his name. That actor. Like
was it Eric Bogosian?
No.
No.
I think
no,
it's,
it wasn't.
This was the only thing he had
think,
ever done.
I'm trying to think.
He was like a former Chicago cop.
The one-armed man?
Yeah.
The actor?
I believe so.
Oh, really?
Huh. Oh. Oh, and like that was his...
I don't remember him in anything else, for sure.
I just remember, like, as a kid, that was the thing I always talked about.
The one-armed man.
The one-armed man. The one-armed man.
Yeah. Well, Dave, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thanks, guys.
Where can people find you?
I am Dave to the Ross on all the stuff, at Dave to the Ross on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff, DaveTotheRoss. You can follow me on Twitter if you want, but I just have an app that tweets for me once a day.
What does it tweet?
It tweets, what day is it? I was gonna kill my Twitter account, and then I was like, no, I'll just make it a dumb thing. But yeah, I'm on Instagram a lot. My website is DaveTotheRoss.com. Also, I have an album that just came out.
Hey.
Called The Only Man Who Has Ever Had Sex. And it's like on all streaming stuff, and you can buy digital versions of it or physical copies. And all of those links to buy it are at the URL sex.guns.beer.
Yeah. Sex.guns.beer?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
I saw, all the new domain suffixes came out a couple years ago.
Yeah,
and
anything.
I was like, yeah. And so I bought guns.beer, and here we are.
Got it.
Yeah.
Love it.
The actor's name was Andreas Katsoulis, and he was not a former cop. He was
an actor,
just the character.
Professional actor.
Yeah, he's a professional actor, believe it or not. A former actor on Star Trek The Next Generation, though.
Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, and Babylon 5. He was Gakkar.
Oh.
So for all you B5 fans.
Dave, is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, man, look. I don't look at Twitter, but sometimes I open up my Twitter app solely to read Dan Licata's tweets. Do you guys follow Dan Licata?
Yes. No.
Oh, my God.
I got to.
He's at Dan Licata Sucks, DanLicata Sucks. And he just plays this character that is so crazy. And a few days ago, he tweeted, bring to funny, how about bring to troops home? He's such a dumbass, man. I love him.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah, pimp. Oh, hell yeah.
Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, doggy, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Let's see. There's a couple of tweets I like from Blair Saki. When something has a 14% on Rotten Tomatoes, oh, sweetie, that's a dare.
God, she's so funny. Man.
Every time I see someone talking on the phone in public, it's like, literally, what the hell do you think you're doing? Weird, because I do sometimes when people loud talk on the phone in public, yeah. I don't know. Something resonated with that with me.
Yeah.
Also, shout out to listener Sean Green, because he said, FYI, because we were talking about Amish people with Nick Vatterott yesterday.
Yeah,
he said, FYI, Amish people are insanely good at volleyball. This is not a joke.
What?
So somebody, yo, if you have fucking Amish volleyball footage, hit me with a mixtape.
For
anyone.
Real?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you weren't going to read that, I was going to read that.
Oh, really? Yeah, that was one thing I was like, this seems too good to be true. Again, yeah. IP,
right?
This is about an Amish volleyball team
that
goes to the Davis tournament. If you know anything about club volleyball for a youth, the Davis tournament, UC Davis, okay? Oh, I mean, it writes itself.
You know who else was really good at volleyball?
Abe Lincoln.
Osama bin Laden.
Oh.
Is that true?
Yes.
Anna Hosnier's dad,
and
too.
And Anna Hosnier's dad.
Right. Love it.
Really?
Volleyball.
Love it. Tweet I've been enjoying, at Dana Donnelly, tweeted, no one, and then me trying to pretend I'm not drunk when I get into an Uber. Ha ha, thank God you came to get me. I just want to go home and read Proust. Ha ha, all that drinking stuff is not for me. I immediately puke all over their backseat. And then Langston Kerman tweeted, this is probably what getting your ass eaten feels like, but I'm too afraid to find out. And it's just that video of a turtle being spun around over and over by a thing of water. That's funny. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into this fine weekend on?
Just this is going to get your toll. Honestly, just take your fucking boots off.
Because
your
happening.
Big toe will blow through your fucking boot.
Holy
at
shit.
At the fucking grooves you are about to hear.
Holy fucking
shit. This is a track
shit, man.
Called Viva Africa by Dennis Ferrer.
Oh, yeah. That
and
shit is dope.
It's just, dude, just fucking blast this. You'll just be fucking just nodding. Just, you know, not like in a heroin way. Like head bopping. I mean,
yeah.
And I don't know what else to say. It's got good energy. It's got some little African percussion. It's got a little dub sound hits. It's just got everything. You know, sax solos.
Mm.
Just fucking put this in your pipe, yo.
Yeah. You know it's a good song when people are asking about it when he plays it in the office before the episode. And this was like a subject of like 20-minute conversation.
Yeah.
Well, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us for today. It is a long weekend, so we'll be back on Tuesday. Stay safe, you guys. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.